Welcome to another episode of the Eagles Water Cooler. I'm joined today by Mike. Mike, nice to have you back on the pod.
Chris, thanks for having me. How are we making it through the week?
Not so bad. Always easier, I should say, to make it through the week after a win, albeit against a subpar opponent. And I think that'll be a little bit of a theme as we talk today, but always a better week after a win. How about yourself?
I definitely would agree with you. And interesting, you know, it just seems like the pulse after this win is kind of mixed reaction. Some people not feeling anything about the win. Some people feeling a little bit, but waiting to see. Making sure I'm on the right page here. Do we have an agenda for today, or are we just kind of letting it flow more naturally?
I have a little bit of an agenda in front of me, but we'll kind of let it flow. And I think you bring up a good point in that the first game the Eagles won against the Falcons was sort of a lesser opponent, and they were able to get the win there. They go down to Carolina and they're able to get the win there, and they kind of look like a subpar team. And now coming off this game against Detroit, where the Eagles went in and basically just rolled and ran all over them, it's tough, I think, as a fan to really gauge where they are as a team, because they're not getting wins against teams that are thought of as being competitive or postseason teams. But by the same token, I think if they weren't winning these games, we would be saying that these are games they're supposed to win, as opposed to, let's say, opponents like Kansas City or Tampa Bay, where looking at the schedule at the beginning of the year, we kind of said they're probably supposed to lose this game for all intents and purposes. So let's jump into the game against the Lions out in Detroit last Sunday. Mike and I, along with Andrew, were actually able to watch the game together, which is always a treat. And I think it was a good game to watch as a group, because the Eagles ran roughshod all over the Detroit Lions. So we'll begin by talking about the offense. And I think I have to start by talking about the run game. So in the absence of Miles Sanders after he leaves the Raiders game injured, we have a combination of Boston Scott and Jordan Howard. I really expected Kenny Gainwell to get a lot of the carries in Sanders' absence, but it really wound up being Boston Scott taking the first snaps and then complemented by Jordan Howard. Overall, the team ran for something like 250 yards on the day. It was most of the source of their offense. I think Jalen Hurts only completed like 14 passes or something like that. So this was a pretty overwhelming demonstration of the run game that I think fans have been waiting to see for a little while now. And it really was consistent. It was the main way that it was the only way the Eagles scored touchdowns in this game, other than a ball that Avante Maddox punched out and Darius Slay ran into the end zone, a defensive touchdown there. But yeah, really interesting to see them break out the run game and pretty much use it almost exclusively. So yes, lesser opponent, all those kinds of things, but the Eagles run game showed up.
It sure did, man. And it totally destroys my theory about Sirianni not being able to run the ball, because it's some kind of directive from Lori or Howie Roseman not to do so. Which, you know, kind of makes me scratch my head and think it was kind of growing pains a little bit, him not running the ball earlier on this year. It was nice to see him put a game together, and Jalen Hurts at top rusher, actually, ahead of Boston Scott and Jordan Howard, 7 carries for 71 yards.
This was one of Jalen's best rushing games. Some of the runs that he had in this game where he was zigging and zagging and making people miss.
I mean, so it's great to see it's great to see them put it together like that. It would be really nice to see them build off this. And I'm sure we'll get into scheme and strategy for the upcoming game, you know, continuing to run the ball. Being, you know, don't just abandon this, like, let this be a building block, not just a one-off or something. Like to see Sirianni not like next week just totally abandon the run and us scratch our heads again and be like, but why? You know, it was it was so successful. All, you know, another great to see Jordan Howard pop up. What's his deal? Like, what's your read on Jordan Howard? We loved him when we traded for him from Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and he was a great compliment to Miles. I thought Miles' rookie year, he sort of went down to Miami, got a big contract, and fell out of favor down there. Seemed to me like he kind of added a bunch of weight, and then he made his way back to the Eagles and got himself into good shape, was on the practice squad, and then kind of by virtue of Miles Sanders' injury was brought up to the active roster this week. But I did not expect to see him as much as we did. Like I said, I anticipated the draft pick from this year, Kenny Gainwell, getting the bulk of the carries, and it was pretty much the Jordan Howard, Boston Scott show. I'll be honest, I like Jordan Howard. I like running backs like that. They're not the only kind of running back I like, but you could see, and again, the Lions, not a great opponent, but you could see that they weren't trying to tackle that guy. He's just kind of a bowling ball, and once he got ahead of steam, he was really able to be effective. I think that there's a school of thought that says that that kind of running back that I guess Derrick Henry would really exemplify nowadays doesn't have a place in the modern game, but I liked seeing Howard in there and I think it was imposing. And I think if he has opportunities this week against a slightly better defense in the Chargers, but not a better run defense, they're one of the worst in the league, that Jordan Howard and Boston Scott will have opportunities. And to speak to your point that Sirianni can scheme similarly because he's playing another team that does not play the run very well on the defensive side of the ball. So I'm with you. This is a formula. We've been looking for pieces of identity, things to build on, or ways of conceptualizing just what the character of this team was going to be and this coach and this quarterback. And I'll say that the run game was a smashing success this week. And I think that they would be foolish not to at least try in this upcoming game against the Chargers, which we'll break down a little later in the podcast.
Is there anything out there on why Gainwell wasn't used as heavily?
I don't know. I haven't heard anything, haven't read anything. The only thing I could think is that Gainwell is a leaner sort of receiving type back, whereas Howard and Scott, I mean, Scott's a shorter guy, but he's pretty stout. Obviously, Howard a little bit bigger, but I think they were going for more of a ground and pound approach. That's nothing I read. That's just kind of my impression. But it'll be interesting to see what Gainwell does this week.
I was going to say, I think we saw a lot of Jalen Hurts standing right under center.
We did.
Which, again, a lot of times we see Gainwell, it's in that shotgun protection to left or right of the quarterback. So maybe it was, you know, kind of pounding it up the middle that they just prefer Howard over Gainwell for that type of run style.
Yeah. You know, the Lions kind of a lesser team also. Gainwell sort of a little bit of a hidden gem on the Eagles roster. I don't know if that's a little bit of gamesmanship on Sirianni's part, sort of veiling that a little bit. Maybe he has a bigger role this week. We'll wait and see. But as you said, Jalen Hurts was the leading rusher for the Eagles, and I thought just looked so much more comfortable having the complement of a run game. It just looked like it sort of freed up his ability to make better decisions. Not a lot of opportunities to throw the ball, but when he did, he looked good doing it. And he looked better running as a result of the running game working overall, because I think the defense is just naturally having to account for the possibility of him scrambling. And also the running backs, if they're posing that kind of threat, having that kind of statistical day. So I think that Hurts is a quarterback. We said this on another podcast that you were on, Mike, that if you ask him to do too much, he's going to press. And we just came off of a relationship with a quarterback who was pressing. Who was trying to play hero ball. And I think allowing Jalen
he's still trying to do it. We just saw him blow
that
up.
Was ugly last week. Hurts is really playing within himself when there's a presence of a run game, because I think he takes that decision-making process he has to go through doesn't have any extra added pressure because he's also not the only person responsible for the run game. He's a contributor, but when he's getting help from the running backs, I think that means a lot for him. And he also looked a lot more confident standing in the pocket. There were a couple opportunities where in previous games, I think he might've scrambled or escaped, and instead he hung in there and made the throws that he had to. So I think we saw probably one of the better versions of Jalen Hurts, not statistically, but just in terms of his ability to manage the game. And that has a negative connotation, a game manager. But I think that Hurts has some ability, but that the run game seems to help him manage the game better. And that goes down to possession and scheme and all those other things. So I think Jalen Hurts is a quarterback, probably like most, who really benefits from having that running game.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. He definitely looked more comfortable this week. I don't think he turned the ball over at all.
No, he didn't.
Against the Lions. You know, I'm not sure when it is. I'm probably going to say we need to see a full season of Jalen Hurts at the quarterback before we can kind of grade whether we think he's the guy next year, or whether the draft should center, or whether we should package some of our picks to either acquire a free agent quarterback or draft a quarterback. I don't think it's there yet. I don't think we have a definitive answer just quite yet.
And I think that sample size is really fair to judge him on, especially with draft capital the Eagles have, which I think you could use the word historic, just having three first round picks, and looking at the situation from afar, thinking that if they're going to make a really keen judgment about Jalen Hurts being a part of this team moving forward, they're going to need a whole year as opposed to a midseason game against the Detroit Lions. But when he's been successful, it's because, in my opinion, there's been a balance of running the ball. That other quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady might defer to passing more often because they're such gifted throwers. But Jalen Hurts looks like a quarterback who's going to be a lot better when the run game is going. And my hope in transitioning to talk about Sirianni is that he recognizes that and sticks with the formula, as you suggested earlier, Mike. I think we didn't see anything exceptionally dynamic. There was one little trick play where Jalen Hurts threw the ball to Kenny Gainwell. Kenny Gainwell threw it back, and then Hurts threw it downfield. But there wasn't really a lot of creativity, even in the runs. Just the vanilla straight up the middle, as you said, between the tackles was doing the job. So it wasn't really that it was very creative, but by the same token, he sort of stuck with it. And I think that's the thing to really pay attention to. So I'm looking for more growth from Sirianni in this upcoming week in that parlaying into the next game instead of just happening in a vacuum one Sunday afternoon in Detroit. But I have to think that he's starting to recognize things that work. And another thing is that if you look at the 14 throws that Hurts had, 7 of them were targeted at Goddard. So he's using the run game. He's using his number one tight end now with Zach Ertz gone, and it's to the team's benefit. And I think that that's going to be something moving forward that we need to continue to see. I think Goddard is probably the biggest physical mismatch and one of the best athletes on the field. And it's apparent when he makes plays that he's having an impact. So I think he's one of those guys that needs to be at the top of Sirianni's priority list for mixing him in, because the run game is the foundation. But I think Goddard is probably the best place to start when it comes to throwing the ball.
Absolutely. I think we actually started to see Goddard really involved in the offense last week. I'm not sure I'll try to pull up his stats for you.
70 some yards. I can't remember, but he had 7 total targets, 6 catches and 70 some yards. I mean, half of the passing offense was generated by him. So
gotcha. Definitely. It's definitely good to see that starting to take shape. And like you said, there was that one trick play where I guess Gainwell threw it back to Hurts, who threw it to Goddard. All right, Nick, you know, way to go. You're getting a little creative. Better than just the running the same play, just basically the whole entire game, something different, which is a good start. I'm not really sure. And I wonder if you talked about this on the last podcast with Matt, and I think you said this might have happened afterwards. His whole flower speech that he gave to the guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think he's been getting ripped for it pretty hard. But after the Lions game this past week, I heard, first of all, Sirianni's post game speech to the team. I don't know if you listened to it, but it gets me fired up.
Yeah.
Kind of listening to him.
He's like standing on a chair kind of thing. It's like real.
Yeah. Like, it definitely is amps me up. So, I mean, like just on the quick listen, I'll say like, you know, he gives the goosebumps or something.
Okay.
He's got that, but then Jason Kelce following the speech says, you know, roots on three. So I'm wondering if that message actually like hit home with the players, or if they're just being funny, like making fun of the thing that the media fans have made of it.
I think you're onto something there, Mike. And I think it's important to distinguish that, you know, what matters is what the players think. You know, we can judge and ridicule and all that sort of stuff, make fun from outside, but they responded. And yeah, it was against the Lions. It was against a lesser opponent. But if we see that carry over into this week, we have to think that that's sort of already known. We know that there's going to have to be growth and that we might not see results, which was really the essence of his analogy, with a new coaching staff and a young quarterback. But we're starting to see something, and we just have to hope that it grows and develops in these coming weeks, and that it wasn't just, again, happening kind of in a vacuum. One thing I wanted to say about the passing game, part of the offensive scheme early in the game, and we've been having discussions, Mike, about how Jalen Reagor has still been looking for himself, and he leaves this game with an injury. But the Eagles ran a sweep play or a jet sweep to him in the first quarter in one of their first possessions, and it went for 10 or 11 yards. And I looked over at Andrew and I said, that was cool. Let's not do that again till the second half. And almost on the next play, they ran the same jet sweep, but in the opposite direction for almost as many yards. And then ran it a third time where Reagor looked like he got in the end zone initially. And then upon review, he was touched down. So I think that that becomes his only role. It becomes very predictable, but I think that's one way. It's got to start somewhere. And they have tried these plays before. We've seen other teams be successful with Debo Samuel and receivers like that who can sort of fulfill a running back type role. But Reagor looked good doing that. And if he's up this week, I would not be surprised to see them attempt something like that. Maybe not as much or as close together in sequence, but I thought that's a little bit of him finding himself, having success on certain kinds of plays that are specifically catered to his skill set.
Yeah, he's definitely a tough one and still trying to find himself in a town that demands, you know, like results now. It's really hard for a player like Reagor. He's not living up currently not living up to his draft pick. But you know, outside of Reagor, I'm just looking at the receiving line. Dallas Goedert, your top receiver, followed by Quez Watkins and Devontae Smith. Quez had two catches. Devontae only had one. Kind of a poor showing from Devontae.
Agreed. I was hoping we would talk about him. That first drop was really ugly.
Yeah, and so I guess I've heard some talk about Devontae and drops. Are you worried at this point about Devontae, what kind of player he could be?
Good question.
What's your thought?
I think that he's a player who will have a week where he really shows up. Like he had that 100-yard game against was that Kansas City, I think. And then the next week he had like 70 yards. And I feel like since then his role has kind of shrunk a little bit. I would actually expect him to play a really big role this Sunday. But I guess I wonder, and for a guy who's had a lot of success, who comes from a very successful college program in Alabama, a mostly winning program, that the Eagles being a losing team, at least as of now, may take its toll in a certain way. The cohort that he was compared to from his draft class, Ja'Marr Chase, has been an overwhelming success in Cincinnati and appears to be one of the best receivers in the league already. And I'm not saying that Devontae is mentally fragile or any of those kinds of things, but he may be feeling a little bit of that, or it just could have been an off day. You know, I think that the human elements of him also being a young person, a rookie, could have been anything. So I think if we see a pattern of these drops, I think he had some drops the week prior against the Raiders, but I'm not sure all of those were on him. Some of those throws, seemed a little bit inaccurate. So I'm not ready to jump on Devontae just yet. I think he'll deliver when the time comes, and I think it will be this week. But it did raise a little concern because I think that play is drawn up to get Hurts in a rhythm and get him in a rhythm with his favorite receiver, Devontae Smith. And it didn't happen. There was a play later in the game where Devontae caught a nice ball down the sideline, but yeah, kind of a quiet game for him. And I do expect sort of a reemergence this week. I'm not worried about Devontae. I think Andrew's description, how did he say it? As advertised, that it's not often we get a player as advertised coming out of a trade or coming from the draft. And I still think Devontae is as advertised. I just have to hope that that stuff gets cleaned up and that he can kind of figure some of those things out. Even the best have drops every now and again. So we just have to hope it doesn't become a pattern with him. But I would think they're going to want to build his confidence up because he didn't play as large of a role last week. Let's talk.
Absolutely. The only other thing I wanted to say about Devontae is, you know, it kind of reminds me a little bit of how I thought CeeDee Lamb's year went last year, where he was kind of spotty in and out of games, sometimes be really quiet. But you see just like what one off season did for that guy in terms, and the Cowboys, you know, it's a different offense. They're at a different place as a franchise and whatnot. They're a very productive offense, but I think Devontae will, like Andrew said, as advertised, going into next year, get that consistency down. So not worried at this point, but what were you going to transition to?
I wanted to talk a little bit about the defense, but I think you're right. And I think you actually make a really good point, Mike, highlighting the differences in the franchises, because CeeDee Lamb could afford to have that kind of year last year, having players like Michael Gallup and Amari Cooper as part of that receiving core, whereas Devontae Smith is walking in the door as the Heisman Trophy winning first round pick. He's the number one receiver. So CeeDee Lamb absolutely has that kind of talent. But in terms of context, I wonder if maybe that pressure mounts up a little bit. Look for the Eagles to go to Devontae early this week. I do think they're going to want to get him going. I don't think that it goes unnoticed that he had a down week last week. Let's talk a little bit about defense, the Eagles defense against the Lions offense. As Matt highlighted on our last podcast by saying that Jared Goff is a schmuck. He absolutely proved that game. He looked goofy. He looked like he was uncomfortable almost all day long. The D-line got after him with 5 sacks, 2 from Josh Sweat. I'll just start there. I thought Josh Sweat really came out this week and was dominant. And since he got that extension a few weeks back, we haven't really seen that from him. It's been a little bit of a question mark. Was this the right move? Obviously, them choosing Sweat over Barnett. And as fans, I think most of us like Sweat's play a little bit more, but it was great to see him come up in this game and just dominate. There was one, might have been a second sack, where he had a D lineman as well as a tight end trying to chip him, and he just blew by him on his way to sack Jared Goff. So he really is a force to be reckoned with. Milton Williams, the rookie third round pick, gets his first sack, and I thought looked good pretty much all day. The D-line got after it, and the Lions O-line was not very good, but they had been competitive in other games against better teams than the Eagles. So this was big for the D-line to show up, especially after a week where there was a lot of criticism for the defensive coordinator, John Gannon, and from Fletcher Cox, pretty much direct, saying things like, I'm not paid to stop screens. I'm paid to make sacks. And Fletcher does not come away in this game with a sack, but seemed very active just watching from the couch here. And I think I'd expect that there'll be more opportunities for the D-line. There were blitzes in this game. They were mixing it up. There was pressure pretty much every defensive snap. So it was just nice to see a little bit of variety instead of just the vanilla sort of defense we've been seeing the last few weeks.
Yeah, I think very similar to that's a great point. Very similar to some of the pains that we're seeing with Nick Sirianni and the offensive side of the ball. We're seeing the same thing on the defensive side of the ball. And eventually it got to a point where Fletcher Cox, you know, says something in a post game press conference that, you know, kind of calls the coaching out for, they're not utilizing me the way that I'm supposed to be. I'm supposed to, you know, be rushing the offensive line, playing in their backfield. And you definitely saw a change in strategy. I also think you saw a lot more man coverage this week out of Darius Slay, which you've been calling for. Darius Slay plays better out of man, you know, and I saw him up on the line a lot more.
Yeah,
and in the Lions.
Yep, that's a great call. So
I'm wondering if like there's this, I'm not sure how it works, but there's this like feedback loop where the players need to tell the coaches, and especially like veteran players need to relay to their coaches, you know, what kind of what works and take them out of their own heads at some point to impart on them what they know. And I think you saw that happen and then kind of saw some good things happen as a result of it.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, as a lot of people who know a lot more about football than I will say, tape doesn't lie. So when you watch tape, you can see where the successes are. You can see where the shortcomings are. And I think that's going to hopefully be, I'm recognizing that through Fletcher Cox's feedback, through Darius Slay's successes, that it seems like the coaching staff is having more of a dialogue with the players, having more communication with the players. And probably as a result of the adversity that they faced a little bit earlier. But I think it's a good thing, you know, better late than never. And this is still a young team, and I think there's opportunities.
Yeah, here's an interesting question. As the Eagles move forward into what could be, I guess you could look, they could go in two different directions right now. After they won, before the Lions game, I think we were thinking the Eagles are going to clear house of players. Fletcher Cox was on the chopping block this week. You know, at least there was a market for him to be traded. The Eagles could get rid of a lot of their veterans on their team, acquire a lot of either younger players or draft picks and rebuild that way. But I think the Eagles also could keep some of their veteran players around so that you have the guys that you trust to teach the young people who come in what the right way to, you know, go about being a pro is, and kind of impart that wisdom. You need to keep veteran players on your roster, even if you're rebuilding. So I'm just wondering, in terms of players like Darius Slay, Fletcher Cox, Brandon Graham, who's out sidelined right now, but
like Jason Kelsey, I know what you mean. Jason,
yeah. How important do you think those players are, you know, keeping the continuity and transitioning the team into a newer era, or do you think their presence isn't really needed? And I think if I could start answering the question, I think just like the fact that it seems like their voices have already affected the way that the coaches are calling games. You know, it's very important for them to be around.
I agree. I'm there with you. I think it's vital. And I think part of the reason I know that is that when this all started in the offseason and we were first getting acquainted with Nick Sirianni, that was something that he prioritized, was getting the buy-in from the veterans. And that if you look around the team, there's one of those guys sort of in each room, right? Like you mentioned, Brandon Brooks, Fletcher Cox, Jason Kelsey, Darius Slay, Rodney McLeod. You know, they're all around the team. And I do think it matters. I think if you're going to sort of build and establish something, I think you got to start with what's there. And there are coaches who have a different philosophy of like, just wipe the slate clean and start over with all my people. But Sirianni to me seems like a collaborator. He doesn't seem like I know and we're going to do it because I said it. He doesn't seem like that kind of guy to me. Now we're still getting to know him. Maybe that's there and I don't know it, but I think both he and Jonathan Gannon have gone through some of that this year. And we've seen that in the lack of creativity and the stubbornness and maybe playing it a little too safe. But over the last couple of weeks, we've definitely seen some improvement. So we have to hope that it continues. But I think those veterans are essential. And yeah, in the wake of the trade deadline coming and going and Fletcher Cox still being here, it's hard to think about the Eagles defense going out there without Fletcher Cox and somebody I think we all hope to be a lifetime Eagle. I think that his buy-in is still yet to fully happen, if I'm being totally honest. And I also think trading wise, he carries a big number, and that's going to be hard for any team to absorb regardless of their cap situation. So it's important that the veterans be there. And I think it's important that the veterans sort of co-sign what the coaches are putting out there as an identity, as a philosophy. And that if that works right, that a lot of those younger players are going to follow suit. Interestingly, I just thought about this. When you look around the team, that the only place that there's a lack of a veteran presence is actually at the receiver position. That's kind of interesting when you stop and think about the rest of the team and that almost every room has one of those guys that really speaks to just the youth of that room. Let's talk a little bit about one other defensive player I think I've wanted to talk about for the last few weeks. And I texted Andrew about this today because I think he's going to be coming due for a new contract. But to me, Avante Maddox has really found himself again. I think over the last few weeks, but really all season, has been playing consistently, made a bunch of great tackles in this game, had a pivotal play where he came up to make a tackle, punched the ball out, and Darius Slay ran it back. And actually a really cool moment afterward. Maddox is from the Detroit area. Slay obviously played in Detroit for 6 or 7 seasons. And after the touchdown, Slay gave Maddox the football. Maddox ran it over and gave it to his dad. Just kind of a cool moment. I didn't see it during the game. It was something I read about. And then there was some video, video out there on Twitter. But to me, Avante Maddox is a player that, playing in the slot and in the context of playing with two veterans and Steven Nelson and Darius Slay, he's really playing well. He looks like he knows, in terms of players finding themselves, he seems like he's really found himself and he's found a role that works for him, and he's really playing free. He's making plays on almost a weekly basis. And we haven't really seen that since his rookie year, when he came in and was kind of a surprise. And some of that may be injury. Some of that, obviously, the coaching changes and the ups and downs of the last few years. But I think Avante Maddox is a player that the Eagles can start to hang their hat on as their slot corner.
Yeah. I was going to say, what did he start at slot corner last year?
They actually played him outside last year, and it was something that was criticized a lot because he's a smaller guy and his skill set, you know, he going to Pitt, he played safety, he played slot, he played outside, so he played all over, and he has the skill set to do it. He's actually played safety for the Eagles pretty well on the couple occasions where he's been pressed into that duty. But I think that when you do that to a young player, it's great that they're versatile, but if they're bouncing around all the time, it's tough to get acclimated and settle in. And especially if they're a rotating cast around you. And luckily for the Eagles, knock on wood, there's been consistency at the outside corner positions with Nelson and with Slay. So we have to hope that they can maintain two consistent outside corners so Maddox can keep showing up the way he has. That play was really exciting. I thought that was one of the big highlights of this game. And then obviously the story afterward was just kind of a good narrative. Let's talk a little bit about the Eagles game this Sunday against Los Angeles Chargers, who will be visiting the Link. The Eagles winless at home this year, Mike. Winless at home. Cannot remember a time in recent memory when the Eagles have been winless at home through 8 games, almost halfway through their season, obviously with a 17-game season now. So I think it's important that they get a win in this game to sort of establish some sort of home field advantage. I attended the game against the 49ers, the opening game of the year at home, and the energy was just through the roof, and the play really didn't reflect that at all. It was sort of a boring game that lacked the creativity and some of those other things we said earlier. So the Eagles haven't been home in a little bit. They sort of had a mini bye after their game out in Vegas. I expect that stadium to have to be very high energy come Sunday afternoon at 4:00. And the 4:00 games always have a certain energy to them anyway, just because those extra hours of waiting and for Philadelphians imbibing. So let's talk a little bit about the Eagles offense and the Chargers defense. Mike said this already. It was my first point. Stick with the formula. The Chargers are one of the worst run defenses in the league. My hope would be that they have all the tape, all the examples necessary of plays that worked. However, I do think that we'll see more from the Chargers defense than we did from the Lions defense. And some of those vanilla straight up the middle runs probably will not be as effective. Having said that, part of the reason those runs were effective and vanilla schemes were possible is Jordan Mailata was just destroying people and just pushing them over, throwing them out of the way. And we have to hope that that's a big part of it. I think he's been really a player who's had an injury this year. He's played over at right tackle, but now he's been back at left and he looks very dominant. So I think let those guys work, let them run and use the run game as a feature this week. Having said that, the Chargers have some good defensive players. Joey Bosa obviously is a dominant pass rusher, has given a lot of quarterbacks some trouble this year. Derwin James, one of my favorite safeties in the league, has been injured a lot of his career, but when he's available, he's really dynamic. I do think that the Eagles are going to be in a position this week where they're playing a little bit more of a challenging defense, but I think by the same token, there's no reason to just throw out all the successes that we saw from last week. So what are you looking to see other than we'll both agree that we want to see them stick to the formula? We mentioned Devontae earlier. We talked a little bit about Dallas Goedert. You brought up Quez Watkins briefly. What are you seeing this week, Mike? What would be your approach?
Yeah, I think it would be what I would like to see is a continuation off last week, in that it's pretty much just what you recap. Continue to run the ball consistently. Don't make it sporadic, or don't make it disappear during certain parts of the game, and get your big players like Devontae involved early. Keep Goddard heavily involved in the offense. And then I would say let everybody else kind of fall suit after that. But if you can do those things, run the ball, I guess we'll have to see who it is running the ball, if Gainwell or Howard continues. Quite frankly, coming out of the game, like, I'd love to see Howard still in there doing exactly what he did last week.
That's a good role for him. I don't think he wound up with more than maybe 7 or 8 carries, but that is a good role for him. That might be just the right balance of that bigger style back and giving him those carries, but yeah, to balance it out. And who knows, maybe we do see more Gainwell this week. I was surprised by that. And I don't know if they're hiding him, you know, to try to use him against the Chargers. I do know that he's more of a receiving back, but I have to figure if they have 3 backs with completely different skill sets, Boston Scott brings his own stuff to the table. Keep using it and diversify it a little bit, because I think you made a really good point about getting those guys, Goddard, Devontae Smith, involved early, and then using the run game to sort of spell in between those opportunities where you're going to take shots to those playmakers. So I think that's well taken. I'd like to see a little bit more of a balance this week. I mean, I'm all for running the ball, but it was pretty staggering last week, almost to the point where it was like, here's another run, glossing it over and over. And part of that is the Lions. But part of it, I think, also was the fact that, as you said, it was working. And when something is working, good coaching sticks with it. Just says, look, running this until you can stop it. And then if you can, we'll switch it up and use one of our other targets. So we'll keep this kind of short here, Mike. But who are you seeing as your offensive player of the game?
Offensive player of the game. I don't know. Maybe come back to me. Do you have a player?
Yeah, I've been saying Dallas Goedert a lot. I'm going to stick with what I said earlier, and I didn't intend it to come out this way, but I think that after a week like he had last week, I think Devontae Smith is really going to show up this week. I still expect the run game to be a huge part, and I don't think that Devontae has, 15 catches, but I see him having a pretty productive week. I would not be surprised if he goes over 100 yards. But it really needs to be one of those things where I think if they get him going early and he's able to make some plays, build up his confidence a little bit, we're going to see the guy that we saw at the beginning of the year who has been really impressive. And I think, again, he's human. He's a young guy. I don't think we can say that this is him falling off the rails or anything like that. I just think that this week he'll be more of a factor. I'd like to see Devontae maybe 6 for 75. And a touchdown. I think that would be a nice sort of reestablishing himself day. Again, if he goes over 100, though, I would not be surprised. I think that he's going to look to establish himself. He's a player who seems like prides himself on bettering himself. And I think he'll want to do that this week.
Yeah, I'm going to come in with hopefully what's a little bit of a sleeper for the way that the Chargers are game planning. I'm going to say Quez Watkins kind of has a breakout game, because, they're going to be trying to shut down Devontae. They got the tape on Goddard from last week, and Ertz is gone now, so they know they can kind of single in their scheme against him. I think Quez could, be the guy who's kind of left on the field to have a big day. So maybe he's the one that capitalizes on an opportunity just from the players around him this week.
Part of what we talk about with Quez Watkins and Jalen Reagor definitely has to do with their draft stock. That Quez Watkins is a 6th-round pick and Jalen Reagor was a 1st-round pick. But just from the viewing perspective, just as a fan, it's so easy to root for Quez Watkins. It's so easy to get behind him when you see him come across the field and make a play. And he had one of them this week where he was sort of running horizontally across the field, was maybe like 20 yards downfield, made a great catch, got up and pointed for the first down. I just like his style, like his swag. I think he's a player that as time moves on, will grow into himself a little bit more, but he's a guy that I do think can make plays this week because of what you mentioned about Devontae and Dallas Goedert getting a lot of attention. I also think that it's been a little while since we've seen a go ball, since we've seen a deep route. And I don't know if they would, you know, do that earlier or sort of hold off on that until a little bit later in the game. But that's one of many things that Quez does well. And one of the fastest players in the league. I think if you do that early at home and he's able to get into the end zone, I think you're going to see a pretty good day from him overall and probably from the whole team. So I like that. My offensive player of the game was we're going with the receiving core, Devontae Smith and Mike Sands, Quez Watson.
Yep.
We'll see what we get. All right, let's talk a little about the Eagles defense and the Chargers offense. The Chargers have a second-year quarterback, Justin Herbert, out of Oregon. He's a good player. He's fun to watch. But he is in his second year. He had sort of a step back game, I thought, last week. I'm sorry, I forget who their opponent was, but I remember thinking he looked a little bit off. But the guy has some weapons on his team. And I've always, from afar, one of my favorite receivers in the league has always been Keenan Allen, who's just an exceptional slot receiver. I think that it'll be interesting defensively because they do have Keenan Allen, who's totally healthy and has been very productive this year. But they also have Mike Williams, who's, I think, maybe a third-year player out of Clemson, who also can make big plays and is a physical presence on the field. So I think they're going to probably be splitting Slay's reps between following Keenan Allen and following Mike Williams, depending on the packages that are there. But I do know Williams is nursing an injury right now, so he might not get as much attention. But Keenan Allen is a great player, and he's been one of those guys since he's been in the league. I've always appreciated him from afar. He's not a downfield guy. He's more of an intermediate type guy, but he has just really nice hands. His route running is maybe one of the best in the league at just losing people. So I expect him to get his in this game. Austin Eckler, just a guy who was like, you know, on the practice squad, had no shot, and now has become one of the better running backs in the league. I don't know if you saw this clip last week where he was a goal line run and he ran into a pile and just kept his legs moving and pushed, you know, along the line and just motored into the end zone, you know, kind of like in a like a rugby scrum almost. But the guy's tough, and I think that he'll pose threats not only running the ball but passing. He's one of the better receiving backs in the league and probably one of Justin Herbert's favorite targets because he's so reliable. So I think Herbert's coming off of a shaky game. I want to see him uncomfortable. Just like we said about sticking with the formula offensively, I say throw those blitzes at him, make him uncomfortable all day long, make him think twice. He's on the road. Philly's a rough place to play for anybody, let alone a second-year player who played in the Pac-12. So I say get after this guy.
Yeah. I mean, you know, just looking at some stuff on the Rams' offense right now, they're third in the league in – sorry. Yeah, the Chargers. I was looking at the Rams' offense. Good thing I didn't recite that because it's quite a difference between them and the Chargers.
Yeah. Like yeah. Two teams. And now LA is two teams. Wow.
I mean, they're ninth in the league in passing touchdowns. They're eighth in passing attempts, 11th in passing yards. So, you know, like they're at the top 10 cusp in terms of offenses, in terms of passing yards. Points, they're 18th in the league. So like, they're kind of below half. I don't know if that means if the Eagles can, I guess the Eagles really need to get to the quarterback, you know.
Absolutely. I mean, that's always the case, but I think they're in a unique position this week with a young player who, you know, I think the Chargers O-line is maybe like 11th or 12th. So, you know, they're definitely a better O-line than what we saw last week in Detroit, but I think that they're going to benefit the defensive line well from Jonathan Gannon kind of cutting them loose. I think if they play this vanilla and Herbert has time, he's going to be able to deal because he really is a good quarterback. I think he's one of the better young quarterbacks in the league.
Yeah. And I mean, just looking at it, they're a much better passing team than they are a rushing team.
Kind of makes sense given their weapons.
Yeah, absolutely. So I don't know. In terms of that, maybe we're looking at a little bit of a lower scoring game with some big defensive stands by the Eagles.
That'd be nice to see. I do think that because of the talent that they have in Keenan Allen and the fact that he's more of an intermediate player, I think that it'll be up to the linebackers to do a lot of running down of the ball. And we saw, obviously, the Eagles cut or waived, Eric Wilson this week, who had been sort of the starter for the first few games. And not sure why, because we didn't see much from him as fans at all. But last week, we got to see Davion Taylor play a lot and TJ Edwards play a lot. And both of those guys, I thought, played really well, tackled really well. They're going to need to be a factor in this game because Herbert is going to look for the intermediate stuff, at least initially, to sort of set up for passes downfield to the Mike Williams and people like that. But I do think that it's going to be interesting to see how conservative the Eagles are based on the way that we saw them play last week, because I think they're going to have opportunities to get after this quarterback. And I think that they should seek to do that early, rattle him early, get him off his spot early, get him uncomfortable early, and set the tone for the day.
Yeah, just looking at, you know, kind of their ranking, like right on the cusp of like 10th in terms of passing, and then more in the mid-20s in terms of rushing in the league. I really hope Gannon doesn't go back to this like safe cover type of defense, and he continues to let, you know, package some blitzes and be aggressive, try to get to the quarterback, let Darius Slay and Nelson continue to play man. Just be more aggressive, I think.
With you. I really think if they play off, that's going to invite especially Keenan Allen to have a day. If they're giving that sort of a cushion, because he's one of these people who will lose somebody in a phone booth. He doesn't need a lot of room to do it, but if you give him the room, he's going to do damage. So I think you're right in the sense of the sticking with the formula and being aggressive on the defensive side of the ball, starting with the D-line, but also allowing, against a receiving corps that poses some threats, allowing Darius Slay to play, allow him to do what he does well. So, Mike, who do you see as your defensive player of this game?
You know, I think it's really Fletcher Cox's week to dominate. I think Fletcher, he's kind of had an interesting career the past couple years where we know he's a dominant player and we know he impacts the game without showing up on the stat sheet necessarily. And we've almost become like a little complacent with that. But this year with the cast of characters around Fletcher, I do think that really bodes well towards other people getting good numbers. We've seen Hargrave really have an amazing year, and that has to be attributed to being next to Fletcher Cox. I think Fletcher coming off everything, especially, you know, he sent a message out to the fans, like, forever Philly. I think he's excited that he wasn't traded. I think he comes out with a little chip on his shoulder to reassert himself. So I'm going with Fletcher Cox on the defensive line.
All right, man. I like that. I think the defensive line will have a day. My first thought was to go with Darius Slay, but I think he will have a good day, but I think he's got a lot of challenges in front of him. So I'm going to go with Avante Maddox. I'm going to ride the hot hand. I think the guy's been making plays, and I could see him having another week this week where he makes some plays. And again, nice to see that player sort of settling into a role where he's been successful, and the hope is that he can continue to be successful. One thing I also want to say about Avante is he's really been sniffing out a lot of these behind the line of scrimmage passes and screens and tunnels and all those kinds of things. And him and TJ Edwards and some of those players bursting up the field. I want to continue to see that because I think they're going to try to do some of those things. The Chargers are, because the Eagles gave up a lot of yards that way earlier in the year, and two teams that don't play each other as often, I think there'll be some time of them feeling each other out, but I'm going to go with Avante Maddox. Mike mentioned Fletcher Cox. It'd be nice to see him show up in the stat sheet. I think that's what we're really talking about. We know he's a good player. We know he's feared by offensive linemen, but we want to see it show up in the stat sheet because that's where it really makes an impact, and that's where it's going to really rattle a young quarterback like Justin Herbert. I'm going to circle back before we get to our prediction just for one second, Mike, to mention someone who is sort of a pre-draft darling of yours and mine who will be in Philadelphia this week, and that's cornerback for the Chargers, Asante Samuel Jr. I'm very interested to see who he winds up playing against in terms of the Eagles receivers. I'm looking here. He was the defensive rookie of the month in September. It seems like he's been successful out there with the Chargers. Obviously comes with the family pedigree. Obviously we're focused on the Eagles, but it will be interesting to see how he fares in this game. And if he draws DeVonta Smith, I think that's kind of an interesting matchup between two very capable players. So just wanted to, because I know Asante was a guy we both sort of had eyes for before the draft.
It just, can you jog my memory? Who did the Eagles pick number two this year in the second round?
Landon Dickerson. The
Okay. Landon, that was still a good pick. But, like, when that came out, Asante Samuel Jr. was on the board.
Yep.
We had just gotten DeVonta Smith, and it was like, get Asante Samuel. And he was there at the pick, and we didn't get him. That was a little disheartening. He was available at the pick, right?
He was, yeah. And I think it was one of those things, too, where we as Eagles fans thought, okay, receivers probably first, but right after that it should be corner. So it wasn't just Asante. I mean, he was the guy that we liked, but it was more the position. We expected at least the corner and didn't get that. So I just wanted to bring that up because, you know, there will be matchups in this game. I think Joey Bosa against Jordan Mailata is going to be a matchup to watch. I think if he winds up covering him, Asante Samuel and DeVonta Smith is a matchup to watch. So a couple of them coming into this game here. So Eagles hosting the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday at 4:05. Mike, what do you see in your crystal ball?
I'm seeing a close competitive game this week.
You looking at the line?
I do not know what is the line set at.
I'm actually not sure. When I looked earlier in the week, and obviously by this point, I'm sure it has changed, but it was the Chargers -2.5. Okay. So that line reflects what you're saying.
Yeah, definitely a competitive close game. I'm going to go with the Eagles 28, Chargers 24.
All right. So Mike is seeing a victory, the first home win for the Eagles this 2021 season. I am also seeing a victory this week for the Eagles. I think it will be their first win this Sunday. I do think it will be a close game, but I think it will come down to the Eagles defensive line getting after Justin Herbert and him not really being able to settle in. Having said that, I think he'll make his plays. I think Keenan Allen will make his plays. Austin Ekeler, if Mike Williams is healthy. So I think it'll be competitive, but I don't know how high scoring it will be. And again, without the money line in front of me, just kind of guessing. You said 28-24, Mike?
I did.
Okay.
That could be a little on the high side.
Well, and we'll kind of have to see. Both teams, it would seem, are kind of slow starters. So we'll have to see. At least the Eagles are. I haven't watched too much of the Chargers this year, but they've had some slow starts. So if that winds up happening, maybe it is low scoring. But I'm going to say the Eagles 24, the Chargers 19.
Ooh, okay. I like it.
I'm not sure why those numbers, but it's kind of sticking. So we're both seeing a win this week that would turn the Eagles record to 4-5. And the Chargers are one of the more daunting teams that still face the Eagles on their schedule. The Eagles, obviously, through their first eight games, have played some tough opponents in Tampa Bay and Kansas City and the Raiders, who are all teams that seem like they're playoff bound, if not further. But you have to figure that some of the other teams the Eagles have coming up over the next few weeks, they go out to Denver to play the Broncos next week, which could pose a challenge. They are going to be hosting the Saints, who now are looking for a quarterback with Jameis Winston hurt. You got the Giants, you got the Jets, you got Washington. It's a lot of division after that. So after the Broncos and Saints games, it's going to be a lot of division games and then the Jets. So the Eagles have some opportunities in a division that's still very wide open. And I guess to that end, Mike, at this point in the year, with the trade deadline just passing and the way things have gone so far, there are fans that say, pack it in already. And I don't think that's your opinion or my opinion, but to me, if the Eagles can somehow get on a little bit of a run here and wind up in a wild card spot, I think that's good for Nick Sirianni. I think it's good for Jalen Hurts. And I think it's good for them, even if one or both isn't here in the future. It's more entertaining. And the draft capital that we have next year kind of gives you that cushion. So that's my opinion. I'm looking to still see them win. I know there were fans last week who said, go out and lose to Detroit so we can really start stacking up these first round picks. But I want to see the team continue to build that identity and really establish themselves. And I think they do it with a win this week.
I mean, It's really interesting because a win this week, I think, gets all the juice flowing back in Philly in terms of the attitude towards the Eagles. A win this week, people are back on the wagon. And a win this week, I wouldn't be surprised people really start chirping about the playoffs. You know, being in view, like you said, some winnable games coming up at this part of the season for us. So, you know, you get a good win against a good team like the Chargers that could really boost the fan base confidence and the team's confidence for that matter.
Kickstarts the momentum a little bit. And some of the growing pains and difficulties that we talked about with Sirianni, with Hurts, with Gannon, when you look at this schedule, just looking over the first half of the year, they had a tough start. They were playing some tough teams right out of the gate for a team with a new coach and a rookie quarterback. And I think they're in a position where if we see them win this Sunday, if we see them win against Denver, if we see them getting a little bit of a roll here, that we say that during that first part of the year, they were kind of getting their comeuppance, getting themselves acclimated and used to the coaching staff, getting used to the players and vice versa. But it's a long season and even longer this year with 17 games. So we're hoping for wins.
Absolutely, brother.
All right, man. Go Birds.
Go Birds. Go Birds.